The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. We're with you today on this Friday, 18th day of September 2020. And I am going to start today's program. A very interesting presentation for somebody that can look at something and go ferret out the facts. Mike, what do they call that? Journalism, but real fact-finding, as we have people that... No. We got people that want to look at one government agency's statistics and they want to draw their conclusions from their own lies. Science. Yeah, thank you. Thanks a lot, Mike. Thank you for that contribution on this Friday. The Scandemic Exposed. Now, this individual, Carl, I believe his name is pronounced Denninger. He's over at Market Ticker, and he did a little research in the state of Tennessee, trying to ascertain, you know, what's going on here. What is going on? We got 150,000 people dead in this country. My God, Donald Trump's a fool, and that guy should be impeached because he didn't handle the coronavirus thing correctly. In the world of politics, folks, what did you want him to do? Walk into the bear trap? Because that's what this is. Well, here is this gentleman's presentation, and some of it translates not so well because he is using graphs, but he explains this. So, and what's amazing to me, here, wonder how many journalists, the people in this country, Mike, that call themselves journalists. Any journalists that I have seen connected with any NBC, CBS, if they were trying to do a straight story and there was skullduggery, deep, deep skullduggery at the bottom of it, guess what? Their story wouldn't hit the air. It would be blocked repeatedly. Doesn't matter what the story was, any kind of corruption, hanky-panky, deep state shenanigans, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't make the news. I was watching Fox News today, and I even forget, I was posting stories on the website, or sending them over to have them posted. Excuse me, Mike, I don't want to steal your thunder and your many hats you wear, but I do have to look at the stories and read them to send them over to post. So, at any rate, I'm watching Fox News, kind of, sort of. And I see the screen ticker, you know, a little wipe that scrolls by at the bottom of the screen. And sometimes, folks, they will put stuff up there that they will not have on their broadcast. But if you're not distracted enough, say by the ladies with the skirts hiked up around their earlobes, You may notice it, or you may not. But today, I looked up at the screen, and I only caught half the message. I hit the button on the DVR, backed it up, and this was unattributed, just on the news ticker. And my first thought is, where in the heck did this come from? It's not attributed to anybody. No sources. Just a little screen wipe. There it goes. And it said that Donald Trump actually wanted to take out Bashar al-Assad in Syria. He was ready to go. He was planning for it. He wanted to go kill this terrible guy. But guess who stepped in and stopped him? The Mad Dog Mattis. Now, let me specify my skepticism here. That's a load of hooey. Mad Dog Mattis is one of those general boys that, well, you know, they wouldn't have attained their position, their generalhood, if you will, if they just weren't involved in the military-industrial complex, you know, commanding the troops and fighting unjust wars. Oh, they're not even wars. No, they're just interventions. So we go around the world helping people. You know, like we help the people in the Middle East. I said on the program when I had Mr. Landry on, I mentioned 2 million dead in the Middle East. He goes, no. And he should know the number better than I. He said, no, it's 4 million. And I know that we want to hang on and we wish it wasn't so and we'll keep believing until it just stinks so bad that we have to hold our nose and walk away. There's a couple of bright spots still at Fox News. How long they're going to last, the speculation has been the Tucker Carlson. That if I remember correctly, Mike, he wasn't, when he was first with Fox News, wasn't it kind of like goofy style reporting on the oddities and stuff like that? They have Waters over there as well, and they've tried to turn him into a comedic style news broadcaster. And this is the guy that went out on the streets of America doing stupid polls or asking cute questions or demonstrating how dumb people were about the history of their country or whatever. You know, mildly entertaining, but not really germane when your damn house is burning down. What do you got? Where was he before Fox? It's CNN in 2000. NBC, see, MSNBC from 05 to 08. Fox from 09 till present. Yeah, with Gutfield, late night satire. Okay. At any rate, evidently, this guy started to take his position seriously and really try to do some investigative style reporting. And, of course, we all saw what happened the other day when he brought up the gentleman that was explaining how this color revolution that the United States has used all over the world, including the Middle East, and now internally in this country. Well, we roll around to that. By the way, did you post the Bill Still article that I sent over? Wrong answer. Yeah. All right. Because Bill Still calls his podcast Still Reporting, which I think is kind of novel. At any rate, he did an update on the Tucker Carlson piece, and I want to roll that today, because Bill puts his own style to it, if you will. I was talking to Mike before the broadcast today, just sitting around, you know, shooting a breeze like we all do as we're waiting for something to happen or something to do or do what we're supposed to be doing, I better say. Have I gotten out of that one yet, Mike? Okay. Should I quit talking now? Sometimes the mouth doesn't exactly hook up to the brain process. It's been a long week. You know, One America News has the capability, if they had the funding. Now, they're not carried on a lot of cable news, satellite programming. Spectrum wouldn't touch these people with a 10-foot pole. I think the AT&T people with whatever thing that they've got, but they merged with Spectrum, didn't they? Time Warner, whatever. So that's pretty much gone. They used to have One America News. But now that Spectrum has bought whomever they were trying to gobble up out there, One America News is nowhere to be found. And it's interesting because these people are just down-to-earth people, not believing in their, you know, I'll put a stenciled name on a door and that just brings all kinds of piety and pompousness and self-importance. That's not who these people are over at One America News. I can pretty much say exactly the opposite of any owner of cable news or satellite news network. Completely the opposite. As a matter of fact, one day I reported that I got a number and I picked up the phone and I'm talking to the principal of the place. And, you know, he and I had a nice conversation. Told him I appreciated what he was doing. They're Christians, and that's double plus good, but on the downside, they're also with the Judeo-Christendom, which is not a good thing. Not everything is perfect in an imperfect world. But I was talking to Mike, you know, if I hit the lottery, one of these big lotteries, your odds of hitting these things are 300 million to one, right? And I love the people standing behind the counters look at you and say, oh, you just want one lottery ticket? What, do you think two's going to be doing that much better? Let me see. If my odds are 300 million to one and I buy one ticket, I lessen those odds and I put those odds in my favor, but I still only have a 1 in 299,999,999. But invariably, you always have the person behind the counter. You just want one ticket? What, do you think two is going to increase my odds that much? Yeah. But I swear to God, folks, if I hit one of these things for 300 million bucks or 250 million, I'd be calling One America News. And I'd say, you know, we need to form a partnership. Well, why would you want to do that? Because I'm after the same thing you people are after, the truth. But more importantly, a venue that cannot be denied. Ooh, okay, I think I would have their ears at that point. Well, what I would do is I would empty any of the relevant talent out of Fox News just to draw a little bit more attention to their brand. Imagine bringing Tucker Carlson on One America News. And your programming is on everybody's satellite, everybody's cable. Oh, goody gumdrop, might have a fighting chance. Or maybe people that have done the news that have been doing it for a number of years and doing the straight news, but see in smaller segments within the body of other news like a Ben Swan. I thought Ben Swan was great in his presentations. And he worked for television stations. I think one was in Indiana. And then he went to work for one in Atlanta, Georgia. And folks like Ben Swan don't last long because eventually you're going to rub the management or the ownership the wrong way by way of, well, those little complaints that come in. You know, a friend of mine called me and I spend a lot of money advertising on your, and you can imagine how that goes. Threatened to cut off the flow of money. Well, if that happens, the person that's in charge of the operation ain't going to be around long. So what do? Well, they naturally cave. And the reason they do that is because they can justify saying that, well, okay, maybe we can't take it that far, i.e., tell you the truth, you know, but we are of some service, and at least I can salvage it, and we can get some important news stories out there. This is the thinking. This is the thinking. So compromise, and in my estimation, folks, you've been listening to this network for a number of years, compromising the truth, yeah, it does have its price to pay. Every damn time we did a push on affiliate relations, adding programming to this network, you know how long it would last? Not long. Because the stuff we talked about was too close to the truth. And here's the real problem, that didn't match anything else that they were doing on their radio stations. Whoops. Well, that's oddball. Well, they got to be conspiracy theorists, or they got to be right wing. They got to be race. They got to be something. They couldn't be people that love their country, that believe that the form of government we have is pretty near the best one that has ever been made by man. And I know I'll still get arguments on that one. And the people that fall for, the founding fathers, that's not what they were, and they set up business for themselves, and you know what? Take a long walk off of a very, very short pier, or just walk off a cliff, is my general attitude. Were there problems? Were there conflicts? Were all the people back then good people? Hell no, not any more than it is today. And for all of us that are going to go to heaven, I bet you I'll lay you dollars to donuts that you might even find a bad person in heaven that God hasn't caught up with. Maybe because the devil gave him some false ID. Who knows? But I do know this. The nature of men has always been who and what we are. So this is why we come up with things and standards of which we try to attain. This is why we have targets as to what's acceptable and what is not. And all the parameters have been shifted and moved around over the years. Have we noticed in this country? Yeah. So that's what I would do. If I hit the lottery, I'd put $150 million into One American News. I'd start writing contracts for Ben Swan and Tucker Carlson and anybody else that's not in front of the camera that is truly, and I hate to use the term conservative, but people that want to really do the news, do the white paper news. Here's what we've got. Here's what we've learned. Not our political slant, not our agenda news presentation. No. And once you would do something like that, ladies and gentlemen, you'd have a target on your back, that's for sure. But see, now you're big enough, you can hire all the attorneys and, you know, in the administrative state and people claiming that you're hate and race mongers, you're inciting to violence and, you know, by telling the truth. You know, things of that nature. By that time, it would be a juggernaut that would be pretty hard to stop, and they'd literally have to bust into place and kill everybody on the spot. There are, I believe, in this country, good people that have been intimidated, that are scared, that they don't see the support to walk out from those shadows into the full light of day and throw their arms into heaven and just announce that I've been liberated, now I'm on the march. The psychological aspect of this is astounding. I was almost going to say I wished I had degrees in psychiatry, but man, no, let's not go there. You want to talk about a science that has been pretty much hodgepodged? Yeah. At any rate, we'll take this break. When we come back, I'm going to play you the 15-minute segment from Mr. Carl Denninger on Scandemic Exposed, Governments Caught, and he uses Tennessee as an example. We'll be right back.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's. 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All right, we're back. Scandemic exposed from the market ticker.
Happy Constitution Day, or what's left of it in this country, folks. Are you ready to put the middle finger up yet about the scamdemic? No, not the pandemic, the scamdemic. This is not to say that COVID-19 isn't a real virus. It is. No. All those people who say, it's all a fraud. It doesn't exist. Of course it exists. Don't be stupid. Makes people sick. People get sick all the time. I am going to start with a set of facts. 1918 flu pandemic. This is from the CDC's webpage, folks. As is always the case, I always use my sources, and I always put them out there where you can see them. 675,000 people killed in the United States. And you say, well, we've lost 200,000. And that's true. However, there were only 100 million people in the U.S. in 1918, approximately. So that would mean that we would have had to have lost 2 million people in the U.S. to have a bug of equal severity to 1918. We have not. We're coming up on 200,000. We may get to 200,000. But that would be one-tenth of the severity. And folks, that's not the end of the discussion either, because the truth is that mortality is largely dependent upon what government does. In other words, most of this is caused mortality. Not an accident. It's not due to a virus. It's manslaughter. And this is now being actively covered up. And the fact that governments are actively spreading disease and letting it go on for political purposes is now becoming clear. If you are not ready to actively put a stop to this, I have to question whether or not you're really American. Because this is the sort of fraud, folks. We're not talking about little things here. We're talking about well over 100,000 dead. Let me prove it for you. Here is Tennessee's dashboard. This is the COVID-19 Unified Command. It gives you every county. And it's not real easy to get the detail level data from this other than the gross numbers that are as of today. But Tennessee has made the critical error in terms of government concealment and scams of making them available. Yes, you just have to go look. And you have to look in the right place. So I'm going to pick on a couple of counties here. I'm going to pick on mine, Sevier County, 13 deaths. It's been about 6 months now, remember, right? Since this thing really got going, March, April, May, June, July, August. And we're about halfway into September. So we are about 6 months in. We've got 13 deaths. Twice that would be 26. And if we go in here to the leading causes of death from 2014 to 2017, and we look up Sevier County, pneumonia and influenza over 4 years' time killed 104. Well, what's 104 divided by 4? 26. What is, again, 13 times 2? 26. What is COVID-19? Is there any debate to be had here in Sevier County? COVID-19 is the flu in terms of actual impact on mortality. Remember, dead and in the hospital are two things that count. Cases don't matter at all. How about Knox? Knox County, just next door to mine, a fairly large city, 68 dead. Okay, well, what does Knox County normally have happen to them in an average year? And here we are again. Pneumonia and influenza, 480. So 120 over a year's time. 120, huh? And what do we got here? 68. Boy, that's awfully close to half of 120, isn't it? And yet, Knox County has a mask ordinance, has bars and other eateries closed to indoor dining, has all kinds of things, has a university that has enacted a code of conduct where they threaten to expel you if you don't wear a diaper all over your face all the time for a virus that, on the statistics, is no more deadly than the flu. How about Blount? Blount has 21. 21 dead. Okay, that would be 48. Blount County does have a little bit more because they're about, 184. For a quarter of that would be about 50, maybe 48, all right around there, roughly 50. Oh, wait, what's this, 21? What's 21 times 2? I thought we had a terrible problem here. Shall we take some more? Let's take some others. Let's look up here. Hawkins County, 14 dead. Okay. Here's Hawkins County. That'd be 28. And pneumonia and influenza. Oh, look, we really do have, we have some excess mortality here, right? That's about twice. But is that a disaster? Folks, a disaster. No, it isn't. Because look, pneumonia and influenza is here. Well, what else do you got? Adverse effects and accidents. You know what this is? Adverse effects. You know what adverse effects includes? Suicides. And accidents? An accident's not your fault, right? You get hit by a car or whatever have you. And that's where's the disaster here, folks? Seriously, where's the disaster? You want to know where there's a real problem? I'll show you. Here's Shelby County. This is Memphis. 440 dead. That'd be 880. And there is a real problem because if we go look here, what do you got from pneumonia and influenza there? We got four times, a little bit more than four times the influenza and pneumonia rate. But guess what else you have here? You have a bunch of deaths where? You want to know where? You want to know where? They're coming right here. Long-term care facility. And the other place that they're coming from is even worse. Nashville, by the way, remember, the premise behind mask orders and constraints like closing businesses and bars and things like this is that community spread from these places is the problem that we must manage in order to have an open society again. Remember this? This is what we've all been told. Well, you know what? We knew that masks were a scam. Why did we know this? And we've had local governments, including my county, that knew this because this was published in August after an open records request. The government of Kansas, the state, published an intentionally misleading chart showing that mask mandates caused a decrease in transmission. They had scienter, knowledge of guilt. What they also knew was that the mask mandates, immediately afterwards, 5 days after the mandate was put into place, starting exactly 5 days, caused a large spike in virus transmissions. The counties that refused to put a mandate in did not see that. They saw a gradual increase, and then it leveled out and went flat. All the counties that put in mandates, if you group them together, this is what you get. This was intentionally concealed by producing a graph that started here and then said that masks were effective. This was a lie. It was a fraud. It resulted in and continues to result in, across the country, destruction of hospitality jobs and businesses. And if you think it only happened there, you're wrong. The city of Nashville and their government just got caught. Emails between the mayor's senior advisor and health department reveal only a partial picture, but what they reveal is disturbing. On June 30th, contact tracing was giving a small view of coronavirus clusters, construction and nursing homes causing problems with more than 1,000 traced to each category, but bars and restaurants were only traced to 22 cases. Folks, Davidson County, which is where Nashville is, has had over 20,000 coronavirus cases. Two large clusters in construction, where you have porta-potties, and nursing homes, where you have about 40% of the people who are incontinent, were traced to a large amount of spread. But bars and restaurants, which are impacted by closures and face diaper mandates, were responsible for a statistical zero. This was deliberately concealed. Leslie Waller from the health department says this isn't going to be publicly released, right? Just for the mayor's office? Correct, not for public consumption. Folks, this is a scam. And if you think that this masking situation only applies there, I want to show you this. Here is Blount County. No mask mandate. They had a nice rise and stability. But equally, if not more importantly, there is no contribution to healthcare burden here. This is on the right-hand scale in the green. You're talking about a case to two cases of people going to the hospital on a daily basis for COVID-related things in a county of 140,000 residents. This is not a problem. There is no crisis. How about Knox County? Knox County put their mandate in on 7-1. What happened? Their case transmission rate went up by a factor of 5, exactly as happened in Kansas. And it has not fallen back, has it? Why? Because guess what? They're only at a rate of 1.81% for case prevalence. It's why Blount County, by the way, is not to 2% either, which is why their rate hasn't fallen off. But they didn't get a big spike. Knox did. And what is the difference? Knox has a mask mandate and constraints, and Blount doesn't. How about Sevier County? We put our order in, went into effect on 7/10. We had a falling rate of coronavirus. Over the next 3 weeks, it spiked, exactly as happened in Kansas. Why is it falling off now? Because we've reached 2% prevalence. However, again, even during the worst of this, we had no material impact at all on our hospitalization system. Zero. Two cases a day? Two people showing up? They have a problem? Folks, 1,000 people a year die in this county. Every one of them ends up in a hospital before they die. How many people go in with heart attacks or whatever have you on a daily basis? This is a nothing burger. For those who think that this is not a... let's go back and take a look at masks generally. Is a mask necessary in the operating theater? This is hard science, folks, from 1981, 40 years ago. No masks were worn in one operating theater for 6 months. There was no increase in the incidence of wound infection. In fact, there was a roughly 50% decrease. I've pointed this out before. Over the last 40 years, there have been multiple attempts, roughly a dozen, to shoot this study down. They have all failed. The fact of the matter is, folks, is there never was a state of emergency. Mayor Larry Waters said, the Tennessee Department of Health urged local leaders to continue the face mask requirements, giving positive data results in overall reduction. But he knows that's a lie, because in point of fact, from the time that the order took effect, one viral replication period later, the case transmission rate went up by a factor of 3. This is one of the biggest hoaxes ever perpetrated upon the American public in the history of the country. And while you can say, well, it doesn't hurt anything, the fact of the matter is this. Would you buy food or beverage from somebody who has a clicking Geiger counter going crazy on their shirt? Of course you wouldn't. That person has placarded themselves as dangerous. Well, what do you think this has done to hospitality businesses? Closing bars, putting constraints on people, telling them that they have to wear these things inside. You think it matters in a Kroger or a Walmart? No, not at all. Where does it matter? Where does it drive people away? On the lowest rungs of the economic ladder. The damage that has been done to these people is incalculable, and it's intentional. These folks all know that they're lying. They have gone out of their way in parts of this state and in the state of Kansas and have been caught concealing the facts. There is no COVID transmission of note happening in hospitality businesses, and never was. And furthermore, what transmission is going on is linked to feces, which has nothing to do with face masks. It is showing up in Nashville, in construction sites and nursing homes. And yet, that has been deliberately concealed. This is a scam. As I have pointed out since February, this is where the transmission is going on. And yet, our government, which originally may not have known, now does know and is intentionally concealing that information from the public and, as a consequence, directly screwing those people on the lowest rung of the economic ladder and those who run small businesses. That is not speculation, folks. It is fact. And every one of these government officials needs to be held to account now. I'm your ticker guy. And let's enforce the Constitution.
I'm all for that. I am all for that. John Rappaport released a story today. Two Trump aides. You have no idea how deep the CDC scandals go. Excuse me. Now, John Rappaport, he's been looking at the CDC for, some 33, 34 years. He's kept a close eye on him. Story put out, Trump aides, CDC loyalists are at war over the CDC's handling of the COVID reports. And there, of course, are charges and countercharges. And look at Uncle Joe, sleepy, creepy Joe out there going, oh, yes, all these deaths. You know, Trump's responsible for killing 100,000 Americans because of his poor handling of the COVID crisis. Hey, Joe, those in the know, and there's people that want to know, and they're digging around and they're finding out, guess what? This is a political hack job by people like yourselves and the party you represent. A core issue is the veracity of CDC weekly updates on the case and death numbers. Now, these are included in the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. Yes, it's the MMWR. This is a long-standing, highly regarded, and widely referenced CDC publication. Medical professionals, who aren't really known for their ability to think straight, rely on these CDC numbers. Now that Trump aides are taking issue with the MMWR, defenders are circling the wagons. One such defender called the MMWR the Holy of Holies. See, they like to invoke, you know, religious overtones to appear correct. So John Rappaport said, I had to write this article. I had to revisit the 2009 swine flu case counting fiasco. You see, that summer, while the CDC was reporting thousands of swine flu cases in the U.S., they had secretly stopped counting the numbers of cases. The person who discovered this was Cheryl Atkinson. Remember that name? She was the star investigative reporter for CBS News. And Atkinson found out what was going on. The overwhelming number of test samples routinely gathered from the most likely swine flu patients in the U.S. were coming back from the labs with this: no sign of swine flu or any other kind of flu. My, my, my. Atkinson published a piece about this massive scandal on CBS News website. At that point, her investigation was, shall we say, shut down. No other major news outlet in the world picked up her story and ran with it, and it went down the rabbit hole. The blackout was universal. I eventually interviewed Atkinson. Here is a key excerpt. In 2009, you spearheaded coverage of the so-called swine flu pandemic. You discovered that in the summer of 2009, the Centers for Disease Control, ignoring their federal mandate, secretly, they didn't publicly announce it, stop counting swine flu cases in America. Yet they continue to stir up fear about the pandemic through their MMWR reports without having any real measure of its impact. Wasn't that another investigation of yours that was shut down? Wasn't there more to find out? This was Atkinson's response. The implications of the story were even worse than that. We discovered through the Freedom of Information efforts that before the CDC mysteriously stopped counting swine flu cases, they had learned that almost none of the cases they had counted as swine flu was, in fact, swine flu, or any other sort of flu at all. The interest in the story from one CBS executive was very enthusiastic. He said it was the most original story he had seen on the whole swine flu epidemic, but others pushed to stop it. After it was published on CBS News website, and in the end, no CBS television news broadcast wanted to touch it. We aired numerous stories pumping up the idea of an epidemic, but not one that would shed original new light on all the hype. It was fair, accurate, legally approved, and a heck of a story. With the CDC keeping the true swine flu stat secret, it meant that many in the public took and gave their children an experimental vaccine that may not have been necessary. Now, that is the end of the excerpt of interview that Rappaport did with this woman back in 2009. Current story continues. The swine flu vaccine caused a number of severe injuries around the world. About 3 weeks after Atkinson's findings were published on CBS News website, the CDC, obviously in a panic, decided to double down. If one lie is exposed, tell an even bigger one, a much, much bigger one. Here from November 12, 2009, WebMD article is the CDC's response. Shockingly, 14 million to 34 million U.S. residents, the CDC's best guess is 22 million, came down with the H1N1 flu by October 17th of 2009. Well, In the summer of 2009, the CDC stopped counting swine flu cases in America because the overwhelming percentage of lab samples from the most likely swine flu patients show no sign of swine flu or any other kind of flu. There is no swine flu epidemic. It was a hoax. Then the CDC estimates of 22 million cases of swine flu in the U.S. Since 1987, I've been documenting lies and scandals at the CDC. Here, I'm just recounting one. But it's sufficient to show that the holy of holies here, the CDC MMWR, is on a level of three random rocks found in a desert, which are then called sacred church founded by aliens from Saturn. My advice to Trump aides is keep digging into the CDC. Publish your findings in detail. You're going to uncover rubble and rubbish posing as scientists on a scale you can't even imagine. Now, let's take a little trip back in the professor's time machine. Let's go back to, when was this story done here? Oh, I lost the original story, Mike. It just, oh, shut up. That's not funny. Let me go down to the bottom of this. And hang on, folks. I'm a-coming. I know, so's Christmas. All right. CDC spider science scientist attack the CDC, blow the lid off. Now, this apparently was written by Rappaport back in 2009. There's a group of anonymous scientists at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. They call themselves the Spider Group. Scientists preserving integrity, diligence, and ethics in research, hence SPIDER. They have penned a letter to the CDC's chief of staff, and at the time that was Carmen S. Viller. Here's the explosive accusations that they make. We are a group of scientists at CDC that are very concerned about the current state of ethics at our agency. It appears that our mission is being influenced and shaped by outside parties and rogue interest. It seems that our mission and congressional intent for our agency is being circumvented by some of our leaders. What concerns us most is that it is becoming the norm and not the rare exception. Now, some senior management officials at CDC are clearly aware and even condone these behaviors. Others see it and turn the other way. Some staff are intimidated and pressed to do things they know that are not right. We have representatives from across the agency that witness this unacceptable behavior. It occurs at all levels and in our respective units. These questionable and unethical practices threaten to undermine our credibility and reputation as a trusted leader in public health. I have written at length about another whistleblower at the CDC, William Thompson, a longtime researcher who in August of 2014 confessed in writing to massive fraud. He admitted that in the study on the safety of the MMR vaccine, he and his colleagues literally threw vital sheets of data into the garbage can. The study then gave a free pass to the vaccine, claiming that it had no connection to autism, when in fact it did. Thompson is the subject of the film, by the way, Vaxxed. Now, with this letter, we see that other scientists at the CDC are blowing the lid off internal corruption at their agency. If, in fact, President-elect Trump gives the green light for the independent investigation of the CDC, as press outlets are now reporting, and if he appoints Robert Kennedy Jr. to head up that panel, as Kennedy claims, we're going to see large number of hidden facts emerge from the secretive halls of the CDC. Because this spider group is anonymous, I wanted to make sure their letter is real. I contacted reporter Gary Gillum, who had been covering the story. I received this reply. quoting Gillum, I was able to authenticate the letter by contacting CDC's public affairs office and asking them directly about it after I received it from internal CDC sources. And now I write a clear letter to them so they can deepen their investigation. Dear Spider Group, I commend you on making an important start. You're on the right road. As a reporter who had covered the CDC for many years, I offer you three suggestions. This is a short list. This short list, by the way, is by no means exhaustive. I'm just pointing to a few areas where your own research will yield very rich and fertile results. One, the swine flu fraud. Let me take you back to the late summer of 2009 and the swine flu epidemic, which was hyped to the sky by the CDC. The agency was calling for all Americans to take the swine flu vaccine. Remember? The problem was the CDC was concealing a scandal. At the time, referencing the CBS investigative reporter Cheryl Atkinson was working on the swine flu story. She discovered that the CDC had secretly stopped counting cases of the illness while, of course, continuing to warn Americans about its unchecked spread. The CDC's main job is counting cases and reporting the numbers. What was the agency up to? And again, he excerpts from his 2014 interview with Cheryl Atkinson. In 2009, you spearheaded coverage of the so-called swine flu pandemic. You discovered that in the summer of 2009. The CDC, ignoring their federal mandate, secretly stopped counting swine flu cases in America. Yet they continue to stir up the fear of the pandemic without having any real measure of its impact. Wasn't that another investigation of yours that was shut down? Wasn't there more to find out? And, of course, Atkinson responded by the implication of the story were even worse. Now, it was routine for doctors all over America to send blood samples from patients they diagnosed with swine flu or the most likely swine flu patients to labs for testing. And overwhelmingly, these samples were coming back with a result not swine flu, not any kind of flu. And that was the big secret. That was what the CDC was hiding, and that's why they stopped reporting swine flu case numbers. That's what Atkinson had discovered. That's why she was shut down. Now, folks, here in Texas, our wonderful governor has declared that next week, what is it, bars, restaurants, movie theaters, venues like that, Mike? They're going to allow, what? I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. You could have just said that right from the start. So our governor has now seen fit to allow bars and restaurants and movie theaters to allow 75% capacity. Do we have, what's the strings here, Mike? Do we know what the strings are? I'll tell you what, look up the asshats statements here because I want to cover it in its entirety. Who do we have on the line? Gary in Arkansas. Hello, Gary.
Hello, John.
Hi.
I want to confirm that the gentleman that did the analysis in Tennessee, I've heard the very same numbers and analysis from various sources of credible people on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the CDC is a corporation, privately owned. Try to find out who the owners are, as is the United States is a corporation. Who owns the shares in the United States? I've asked that question on the air.
What do you want to? I'll venture a guess, Gary. The banks.
Yeah.
Probably.
Anyway. That's why they want to put us all in debt, so the banks can claim ownership of all the property rights in the United States, including your house and your farms and all the other stuff. Factoid, the Islamic Arab countries, 2,300 years ago, found out that if they would make their women wear the burqa, that would make them a non-person, but their only connection was with Allah and their husband. The psychological damage done to those people is the same thing that this mass crap is. And it turns them into a non-person. It limits their communication. It's they lost the self-control. All kinds of psychological issues. This is a psyops, the next thing. So,
By the way, Fauci was on MSLSD today. Fox News, to their credit, and I hate to give them credit because I know where Fox News is headed, but guess who they had on? Well, they had the good Dr. Fauci on, telling people that, yes, masks are good.
Point of humor, I had a census worker appear at my door. I opened the door. The lady had a mask hanging on her ear. And I told her, I said, she wanted to ask me a whole bunch of questions. I said, there's only one thing you need to know. I'm the only person in this house. I'm the only person that can vote. So there's one voter in this house. You've got the address. You don't even need my name. And I said, that's funny. Why are you hanging a mask on your ear? She said to me, well, they told me I had to wear a mask, but they didn't tell me how I had to wear it. So I thought that was quite funny.
All right.
With that, I'll let you go, John.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you very much. You sound well, by the way.
I'm hanging in there.
All right, sir. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Back to this John Rappaport story here. And he suggested three things to the spider people over at the CDC. He said, number two, the CDC buys massive amounts of vaccines and at the same time heads up research on the safety of vaccines, explosive structural conflict of interest. Yeah, you betcha. If you wanted to buy a product and the main source of research on that product was the company selling it, would you automatically assume the product was safe and effective? What's the name of that magazine or that group of people that test products and they're not tied to any one? Consumer Reports. Thank you. So you would think that we'd have people out there like the Consumer Reports people that are going to look at stuff objectively, look at information, not just coming from one source. But no. That's not how the CDC operates. More on this, and I'll roll around to Assange. We've got an update on Julian Assange and much more information, and we'll open up the phone lines as well, 800-313-9443. And while I got your attention here going to break, folks, we're on a pledge drive. We need your support, and we need it now. Second hour coming up.
After about a month of Extendivite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract is got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.